It's a big show! Yes, we're back! My voice is brought to you by laryngitis, which is still there, so I do apologise. Last week, we were hit badly with the lurgy. The week before, we were hit with work. So we haven't been around since the 15th of Feb. But we're here now. It's not so bad. Joining me to discuss the week in technology, what a panel! We're packed to the gunnels tonight. We've got five in. And it's a truly international panel as well. Top left, starting us off as well with his debut on the big show. It's the Street Machine. Robert Falk, how you doing, man?
I'm pretty okay, I would say.
Good man.
And thrilled to be here.
Good to have,
waiting for this.
Good to have you on, Pat. Now, you were on with Paul the other week, and I got to say, we haven't had you on any of the podcasts before, but we bloody should, because you were great.
Oh, thank you very much.
The only thing I might give you as a tip is tell Wheatley and Wrighty to shut up and let you talk.
Oh, what?
I try to sneak in gently between the pauses, but
that's not
kind of
work,
doesn't
dude.
Work so well.
That's not going to work.
Nah.
You got to get your elbows out in this, mate.
So I'll try.
Be in there tonight. Give us grief. Welcome. Good you're here.
Thank you.
Next to him, Jeff Gamet with Lip Sync.
Awesome.
Oh, no, maybe not.
Lip Sync and Technicolor.
Yeah, no, you look very crystal clear.
Awesome. I always want to look nice for you, Ewan.
Thanks, mate. What have you been up to?
You know, the usual, hanging out, just waiting to see if we do a show.
Have I told you I'm going to Macworld?
I know. and I'll be bringing you a present.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I can't wait now. I couldn't wait anyway, but now I can't wait even more.
I can tell you're really excited, and you should be.
I should be.
You're going to really enjoy this present.
I got a 14-hour flight with Paul Wheatley, and we've planned, right?
Oh, then you're really going to enjoy it.
Well, no, here's the theory. We're going to do an open podcast for anyone that's going. You've got to be going to Macworld. It's not just anyone on. And me and Paul are going to be on it. And then whoever's going to Macworld who comes on the network, who knows the addresses, can dial in, and we'll make a podcast at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I've got to do it at 2 o'clock in the morning because at 4 o'clock, I've got to get my taxi to the airport because I'm flying out at 6. So...
Yikes.
Yeah, so what we're going to do is we're going to do a live podcast from 2 till 4. If anyone's awake, they can sit in and watch and they can throw abuse. And if you come into Macworld, whoever you are, send me an email and we'll get you on that podcast and we're going to do that podcast to keep us awake so that we sleep on the flight. That's a theory. Otherwise, we're probably actually going to arrive in Francisco having had no sleep whatsoever and be utterly shagged. But we're going to try. That's a theory. We'll see. I can't wait to meet you, Jeff. I cannot wait. It's going to be so much fun.
I'm really excited.
Good man.
We're going to have a kick-ass time.
Yes. Beneath him, it's Sarah.
Oh, that caught me out because I thought Paul was underneath Jeff, but there you go.
No.
Yes. Hello.
How you been, girl? You've been in Ireland.
Yeah, very busy and I wouldn't say globe-trotting, but certainly hopping backwards and forwards across the Irish Channel quite a bit. And I'm... got back last week and I'm going back next week, so yes, been very busy working hard on projects in the background and soon to be announced, hopefully.
Good.
Excellent. Yes,
great stuff. And next to her, it's Paul Wrighty. How you doing, mate?
Hello, Gazer. I'll try not to talk to you this week then.
No. I think it was Streaks needs the elbows, mate. That's the key.
No, I talk too much. That's a given.
That too. How you been?
I've been better, as you probably know, but I'm much better, and I did what you said. I went to the doctor.
I'm going to change your lower third to sick note.
No. I'm much better, and I went to the doctor, like you said.
That's not fair.
And did he get you better?
I'm getting better.
And you know what he did when I was ill?
Did you get the doctor?
No, did I, hell? Oh, man, Christ. I give advice, I don't take it.
We're going to have words.
No, your wife's going to have words with you, mate. I'm not scared of you, but I'm scared of your wife.
Yeah, you should be.
There you go. And last but by no means least, ace referee, and I haven't got a solo shot up for him. What an arse. It's Gazmas. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very well, Ewan, and yes, ace referee. That's...
How did it go last week? Because you were a bit of a star, weren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, here he is. Go on, tell us. Talk us through.
Well, basically, we occasionally go on exchange, which means that we have to go into another society's area, and you basically get watched.
As long as you don't have to go to France,
and you get wired up, you get watched, you get an assessment, and it was the level that I'm at. But actually, I was the assessment came through at the end saying, yeah, this guy could, you know, quite easily and comfortably do a next level game, which is level 5. So I'll be up for that if one came my way, definitely.
Good,
and the president of the RFU was there watching as well, and he had a chat with me afterwards and said, yeah, you did all right, mate. Thanks, pal.
Jesus. So we'll see you at Twickers in a few years then.
Well, I wish, yes. Yes.
No,
I
we won't, because you can't referee an English game. You'll have to do Cardiff Arms Park or something.
I have got a cup final coming up. It's a level 7, but it's a cup final and that intermediate cup. So that'll be good. That's Leek. It's Leek actually versus Northwich, I think.
Well, Leek's in the league of the rugby club that I used to be at. So,
there you go then.
The local rugby club.
I'm taking a team of 3 up with me, and we'll be wired up.
Oh, excellent! I might come over and watch that.
Then you'll see how really good I am.
No, Leek's only an hour. It's strange actually, because normally when they get referees, they give them like a bit of kudos or something, and you get like a level 7 ref will come up and they'll do the 6 playoff,
right?
Because it just to give them a treat, and you're like, this is a level 5 playoff effectively, because both of these one of these teams is going up, and they send someone who's a division below that. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's
so
right. Yeah,
it's impressive they sent you, mate. The week in tech, what's been happening? Well, there's been lots of stuff going off, which everyone's brought a story as normal, so we'll crack on with that at the moment. But because Bowinch is here, Bowinch is staying with me and Sharon in the next couple of nights.
Oh, people will talk.
No, they won't. but Angela, her next door neighbour, if you remember Angela, if you don't know who Angela is, look at the Mac episode Pussy in a Steak and you'll find out who she is. And but Bowinch is up with Angela because she's gone to Crufts.
Crufts.
Now, do we all know what Crufts is?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes. I'm about to find out.
It's a dog show. It's the dog show.
Oh, okay.
It's the biggest dog show in the entire frigging world. So when she went out the door this morning, I said, bring us back some tech, eh, girl, will you? Give us some doggy tech to get us started tonight. And she's done her job. God, she's done her job. So what do you want to start off with? Now, the only problem I've got with this is, most of the implements that she's brought back pictures of look like you'd be calling the Royal Society for the Protection of Animals rather than as a positive. So here's a simple one. It's a brush that's linked to a vacuum. A brush for your dog that's linked to a vacuum.
Seems to make a lot of sense.
It's called the Dyson Groom. Now, I hate James Dyson. I think he's an overpriced idiot. But this isn't helping. The Dyson Groom. Would you buy that? A Dyson Groom for your poodle or whatever that kind of dog is. I don't know what
it is.
A
funny looking dog.
I would definitely buy that, but I wouldn't use it on my dog. No. It would be for parties.
There you go. I thought that was probably the most... The thing is, that's actually the most innocuous of all the ones that are on here. Moving up in the torture stakes.
Funny looking dog, by the way.
We've got the dog pacer. Now, the dog pacer comes in different sizes. You can get one for the hand of the basket.
The dog what?
The dog pacer comes in different sizes.
So pacer. Okay.
It's a treadmill for dogs, basically. And there's one for the hand of the Baskervilles. It's not in the background there. And then there's one for your Chihuahua in the front, in the foreground, in the picture. But I noticed that on the banner, the dog hasn't got a lead on. But I've got to say, of all the dogs that I know, they're far more intelligent than their owners, and it would work about 10 seconds on that and go, stuff this up your arse and walk off. Unless there's a dog. Now, if you put a leash on it as well, you've got to watch out, because when you come back, of course, your dog's going to be strangled. But I don't know what the side sheets are for, because they don't look like they hold anything in. But
I think that's just branding.
Okay. Now then, if you've got a dog that's misbehaving, why not waterboard it?
Pardon?
This is the doggy swimming pool.
Oh, okay.
And it's a swimming pool for your dog. It's got a set of steps that they can climb in and a harness that you can lift them out. And I'm guessing it might be an implement for disabled dogs or something, perhaps. I don't know. But
I don't know a great deal about dogs, but I always thought dogs don't like water.
I just don't.
So what's the frigging point of having steps there? Because the dogs are going to... you know, I'm not really sure.
I don't know why you've got a hoist and steps. Either the dog can walk in itself or it bloody can't.
I think they've got those bungee ropes in the wrong position, to be honest with you.
You think that's to stop it getting out?
That's cruel.
It's just... Maybe it's actually for killing puppies or something. I've got that wrong.
Maybe it's a giant stew pot.
Oh, dude, it's totally bubbling. You're right. I'm looking at the picture. It's bubbling. That's boiling water.
So they really should have put a sausage jog over it, shouldn't they? Really,
it's a new implement for Chinese. It's a new implement for Chinese restaurants.
That's evil.
Now, joke about Chinese.
About when she's here, and she's going to explain this in a second. But I looked at that and thought that was just a doggy love doll. I have to say,
that's not a real dog, is it?
I do know the name of the dog, but I can't remember. As in the brand, the breed of the dog, but.
Samoyed,
thank you. That's the one. But I just think that's like a doggy sex toy.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Oh, it's the collar. Apparently, the collar's the thing on this picture.
Yes.
Right, and which is a tracker. Which I mean,
no, it's not a Fitbit for a dog then.
No. Well, maybe find your dog in seconds using your mobile phone. It's £20.
Maybe it's a Pebble for a dog.
You think a Pebble watch?
Yes.
So your dog can control your iPhone. That's not going to go badly, is it?
See, now I'm picturing the dog walking around with that on, going, "Hello, you are my master. I think you are a great squirrel."
Oh, it's totally. Oh, yes, it's totally up, isn't it? It's up. It's the doggy translator from Up. No question. But I want to know if I can fit that to Ellis.
Sure.
I mean, it's got a tamper-proof setting or something, so he can't get it off. He's totally having one of those next week. Batwin, pick us one up tomorrow, mate.
What? One of those?
Pick us up one of these tomorrow, yeah?
Yeah, right.
Failing that, gets the love dog. Do you need a pram for your dog?
Of course I do.
Dog people are stupid, I get that, but a pram for your dog... There's different sizes of pram. There's another one. Look, and it's got a sheet on the inside.
Trying to articulate something here, but no, I can't really make any good comments.
Samsung had an entire stand, and guess what they sold? Cameras and phones. You get a stall at a dog show, what do you take? You take what you sell normally, I suppose.
Yeah, so they've been making phones for dogs.
No doggy tech at all whatsoever, just a Samsung stand that had phones and cameras on it.
Okay.
They could have called it debone, like defone.
Oh, very good. The dog and...
So no Bluetooth headsets for dogs then?
No, and the last one, which looks a bit of a TARDIS... is the dog wash. This is the Canine Clean Machine, K9000 dog wash, and it's basically, I'm hoping it's a watertight trough, otherwise there's going to be water everywhere, but it's got shower hoses and squirt things on it and a big unit up the left-hand side, right-hand side that's... You've all got that picture now, I take it.
That's what she said.
Yeah. I got to say... that's very reminiscent of a booth that I went into in Amsterdam several years ago. And the stag do.
Yourself on the way out.
I'm assuming there's a great spin cycle on
this. And that was full of dogs and all. There we go.
It's okay, Ewan. No one's judging.
That is the tech of today at Cruft. I mean, that is today. I mean, that is the tech of today. Bat wench over here. Round of applause. Went round. She's going again tomorrow, so we might have some more stuff for the Mac show when she gets back. Issues. There we go. Superb. Excellent job. Don't diss dog owners, says Wagner. Sarah, kick him out, will you? who's going to start us off? The Week in Tech. What have you got for us?
I'll go first if you want.
Oh, Sarah. Champing at the bit.
Straight in there.
Straight in, Gil. Go on then.
I thought this one might interest you as well, Ewan.
Okay.
It's about photography.
Is this
the Getty image one?
Getty.
I have to say, I saw this and I thought of you and I thought of Alex as well. And when I read it and I thought, oh my God, I wonder what Ewan's going to think about this. But in case, for any of you that haven't actually seen this story, Getty Images have released, I think it's about 35 million pictures to general use. And that their thinking behind this is that they're saying, well, most people can go out there and will nick our photographs anyway, for want of a better way of putting it. And so what they're doing is they're allowing people to use the pictures, and they'll allow them to use an embed link, which will enable so that they can track it and so on and so forth. But it's essentially free of charge. There's a few exceptions to things that they're not releasing, but generally it's a completely different way of thinking about it. And they're saying, well, you know, it's better this than the alternative to what we've got now. So, and I thought, oh, yeah, I mean, from my point of view, I thought this is great. And yet I thought, well, from a photographer point of view, it's probably not good. Depends. I mean, not totally sure. Do you deal with Getty Images at all, Ewan?
No, I don't. I've never done anything with Getty Images. I had some stuff that's registered with Alamy and iStock Photo, but
okay.
So I'm with Getty by default of iStock Photo. But I mean, to be fair as well to them, when you submit your image to go onto their system, you choose where it goes. So I would suggest that they're probably releasing a majority of images which are copyright depleted, because I don't forget that Getty's been around for...
Yes, it has been.
150 years or something like that, 100 years of photography work. So there's probably an awful lot of stuff there that's well out of copyright control anyway. Mm. Or there's ones that have never been viewed, or there's ones where the photographer's not had been active for 10 years or something like that that they've probably released. So... I've got to say, I mean, my first thought was well done. Very grown-up approach to the fact that copyright infringement's taking place. Why not do it? And the thing that's nice is they're letting the embed code out, and all they're saying is, you know, released through Getty Images on the bottom.
They're giving themselves a credit for it.
I'm absolutely fine with that. Absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Now then, sure. I'm going to set you a challenge, though, Sarah.
Go on.
Find me one image before the end of the show.
Find you what?
Find me one image without a copyright notice on it before the end of the show.
Ooh.
Oh, you mean people that have used Getty Images that...
No, I want you to go to Getty Images' site, and I want you to get me one of these embed images before the end of the show. One, any. It can be any subject, anything you like. Get me one embed image before the end of the show.
Okay.
Anyone else got a comment?
I'm curious to see where this goes, because, well, first, it was smart for them just to figure out a way to address the whole... everyone's using all the images without paying anyhow part. So now how are they going to make money off this? And I know they don't know yet how they're going to make money off of it. That's what I'm curious to see, because they're a business. They need to make money. So how is that going to work?
I think they're openly saying that they're not going to make any money off these photos at all.
Because so is it just advertising then? It's just a push for advertising.
It's getting the Getty brand out there a little bit more. But I think the quote that came from the news article that I read was basically saying, the guy from Getty said, these images are already being stolen. What are we losing? And he's talking about things like historical pictures, at historical pictures on Twitter. They tweet out pictures that are in the Getty portfolio, but which are a very long way out of date in terms of copyright control. Getty should be getting some money for those, but they're not. So therefore, they're saying, well, no, we can't go and sue at historical pictures because they make no money from having a number of followers that do this. So we might as well just let them have them for free anyway.
Well, maybe that gives them a good name then, really, doesn't it? Yeah, because lots of the kind of stock image kind of archives out there. And it gives them a good name that they're kind of identifying the way that people use their images, and other kind of services aren't doing that. So maybe they could turn out to be the good guys, you know, at the end of the day.
I mean, chat room, join me in with this question, but is anyone there that looked at this with any cynicism?
The article actually that I read, most of the articles read, said that people, photographers, oh, you know, we don't want you putting our images on there and such and such. And yet, I've also spoken to somebody else about this who's a photographer, and he had exactly the same thought of this is a good way of thinking and accepting the fact that, you know, it is happening and it's a grown-up way of looking at it. So I'm actually quite encouraged. My first thought was concern for photographers. And yet from someone who you would want to use images, I think it's great.
Good point.
As Ewan says, I'm quite. I don't mind putting credit on there. I'm not trying to take credit away from people that have used images, but you know, it'll now, I've been thinking of subscribing to a stock images company so that I can use images for something I've got planned. And this actually changes that slightly, because I will actually look at it. By the way, Ewan, I've actually had a look at the Getty Images site. It looks like they haven't actually done it yet. It says the articles actually say they will be doing it.
The one I read said they were doing it.
Yes, were, but they haven't, don't appear to have done it yet.
No. Were as in are.
Yeah. I've seen it says will. So it's probably in the pipeline at the moment.
Yeah. Straight, okay, any thoughts?
Yeah, I was just thinking, this might change blogging quite a bit, because all of a sudden we have something that, like 3.5 million pictures, you will definitely find something that'll fit to your blog piece, whatever. And now you can just go get it, and they automatically get the credit for it, as in Getty in this case. I think they're going to get a lot more traffic all of a sudden, just due to this little change they made now. And definitely good on them, and we'll see more pictures on more blog pieces for sure. I don't even doubt that for a nanosecond. So I'm looking forward to see what's going to happen. This is an interesting step, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing what the other competitors on the market are going to do as a response to this.
I think they're going to have to do something, aren't they? Because otherwise they'll just get left behind.
Oh, yeah.
Is there competition in a free market, though? As in a market where there is free things being given away. Is there competition, truly?
That's a good point.
No,
I honestly...
How large is Getty's portfolio of 35mm photos?
It's stupid.
Compared to everyone else's.
Yeah, stupid millions.
Yeah.
And I think the article I read, I understood that it was currently available, and I can't find a single image, so...
No. I can't either, Ewan. I've looked quite a few now. It does say, certainly the main article I read that was, firstly, it does say will everywhere. So it sounds like they haven't done it yet.
I mean, good on them. I've got to say, fantastic. They've created effectively a pseudo Creative Commons outlet for bloggers and for the likes of us. I mean, all of the pictures that we put up on BTN, they're all Creative Commons images that I've taken or I've manipulated from Creative Commons images. So they're not stolen. But there is an enormous amount of Creative Commons stuff out there on Google that's specifically marked as available for non-commercial use. Mm. So they're diving into a competitive market that's free anyway, to a certain degree. Plus also, I can't make the banners for BTN with an embedded image.
Yeah. Yeah, but at the end of the day, we're talking about them, where we probably wouldn't have been if they hadn't done this. So in an advertising perspective, it's pretty good.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I mean, when you think about the fact that if just as an example, if you look at YouTube and the fact that they just, I'm just picking one example particularly, but where they obviously people have, this is content that the general public put on there. They enable you to use it on other sites by embedding it, but they still get credit for it because it's got watermarks and so on and so forth on it. So in a way, this is slightly different, but virtually the same sort of idea, but doing it with images. So maybe it is actually a smart move. And you know, it's possible that they could do other things with it and put advertising on future to actually help monetize it and so on and so forth. It helps keep it legal. And enables them to control the use of the images.
I think it's a cautious well done from my end.
Yep.
But I'm willing to be disappointed. Because it is, after all, Getty.
Yeah, there is that.
I wish I'd had more time with this, because I actually know somebody fairly senior at Getty Images, and I could have actually spoken to him and got his thoughts on it before.
What, feedback to us next week or the week after or something?
I'll see if I can speak to him in the next week.
Jolly good. Excellent. Jeff, what did you bring, mate?
All right. You remember the hoverboard from Back to the Future?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so there's... Let me get you a link for a video. There's a company that called Hover, H-U-V-R, that Wow, I'm multitasking poorly. Here we go. I have the link now. Okay, so this company is showing off an actual hoverboard. They even have Christopher Lloyd to talk about it, and it's all just this really cool thing. And people have been going nuts about this for the past few days. And so, like, Tony Hawk is riding one, and it's just amazingly cool. And here's the thing. This is what makes this so wonderfully awesome for me. It's an incredibly well-done video that's totally believable and absolutely fake.
Yeah, I've stumbled across TheVerge.com, and they've got a story that the hoverboard from yesterday that looks straight out of Back to the Future and also couldn't be true is not the real deal. Funny or Die did it.
Yes, Funny or Die did the whole thing. And they did it so well that it was just absolutely believable. And I love that they played it just straight totally straight faced all the way through. And it's just wonderfully done. But there's little things when you go back and watch it where you're like, well, that's just kind of weird. Like when Christopher Lloyd is first introduced, underneath his name, it says Back to the Future 2. Why just Back to the Future 2? Because he was in all of the Back to the Future movies. But it's, to me, this is just a wonderful example of how easy it is to put something on the internet and have people believe it simply because it's there.
Now, did you have the benefit of watching this before you knew it was a fake?
No, I did not.
Because that would be interesting. Did anyone actually see this before they knew it was fake?
I saw it before I knew.
I'm sorry. That's what I mean. I saw it before I knew it was fake.
So what did you think when you looked at it first time genuinely? Were you drawn in any way? Or?
I was totally drawn in, just very excited about what I was watching, but the whole time incredibly skeptical and waiting for them to give the twist where we get a punchline or they say, so, you know, yes, this is a joke, and they go all the way through and play it straight through the very end. And I was I was surprised that at no point during the video did they really do something to give it away. And it ended, and there's a couple moments where I was sitting there thinking, well, maybe it is real, but it just doesn't make sense. But maybe. So they had me wondering at first, but they didn't have me thinking, oh my God, this is absolutely real.
God,
do we think this might be in release 3 weeks early or something?
What do you mean? April 1st, right, yeah, got you. Do America have April 1st?
We do.
No, I mean April Fool's Day. I mean, not. Of course, you have April 1st, but what a freaking stupid statement!
From March 31st to April 2nd.
Oh man, the stupidity level hasn't decreased, has it? On my part, you do full April Fool's Day.
Oh yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So yeah, the bottom line is, I watched it and I was like, I want this to be real, but just couldn't make the leap to accepting it as real. And I was amazed at how many people thought that it really was real.
Cool. It does look great, but they don't show an awful lot of it flying in the video, do they? That's the kind of
No, they don't.
Bit. It's
yeah, they all, well made, though. They do have very large shoulders, don't they?
New ways to break your neck. If that was real, I'd have one, and I'd be dead the week after.
I'd like one of those.
Or I'd give it to Ellis, and Ellis would be dead the week after, because those things are going to be uncontrollable. No, I mean, just it's one of those things, you know, Dad, it wouldn't stop. Well, of course it wouldn't. It's a maglev. The chat room's gone off on one, talking about how rough Christopher looks. But Batwinch has done a wiki 3D search, and he's 75 apparently, and I think he looks frigging great for 75. So,
too right, yeah,
Do me.
Chris Lloyd looks like an old man, but that's because he is an old man.
Okay, so there is yeah. that.
A lot
that's
older
the
than
surprise,
I thought.
Surprise, I suppose, Ewan. The fact that an old person is actually looking old in America.
Yeah, no. I mean, I was sitting there looking at it and thinking, well, yeah, but he's got to be nearly 70. And he's not. He's 75. Well done, dude.
Yeah. Now we forgive you.
I'll be happy if I'm frigging alive at 75, let alone look like that.
I was watching the video, and it was only really from his eyes that I actually realised it. If somebody hadn't said that I actually worked out, it would have been him.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
He's still got that sparkle in his eyes that he had when he was in Back to the Future.
Yeah, the sparkle, that's Viagra, though, mate.
Hey, whatever it takes.
Great Scott.
I know, it's great, isn't it?
121 gigawatts, is it?
What we need? 121 gigawatts.
Yeah.
So it's 1.21 gigawatts, isn't it?
1.21 gigawatts.
I actually said that at work the other day because I was quoting a price for something, and I went 121, and it went all automatically. I then went into gigawatts, and everybody started looking at me going,
"That's
what
awesome.
Do you want?"
Bugger me, you're old, Gaz.
Yeah, yes, things like that. Yeah,
I remember when this were on at cinema.
Yeah, it's still a great film.
It is, and I like the third one as well.
No, I don't know.
Oh, hey, it's 2015, next year. I expect there to be both hoverboards and flying cars by at least some point during the year. So,
thanks.
Yeah, they got their work cut out for them.
Yes, and Mr. Fusion. I expect to have my Mr. Fusion.
Yep. Indeed.
Don't
do your own laces as well.
Well, I've got to say, Ellis is close to Mr. Fusion because he puts crap in the front end and it's pretty noxious when it comes out the other end. So.
Oh, God.
But what can you power off of him, though? That's the question, I guess.
Well, it remains to be seen. I mean, if it wasn't...
Yeah, that's true.
If social services would let me, we'd find out.
Ah, that's one of those things.
Of course, you'd need that collar to be able to keep an eye on him.
I need that collar for when he gets his hoverboard and just cannot stop.
Yeah.
I'm going to get one. Batwinch, get me one of those collars tomorrow. I'll give you 20 quid. Get me one of the collars and I'm going to strap it to Ellis.
You're evil, mate.
And we're going to send him over the shops.
We'll see what we can do.
Evil.
If you're listening from Solihull Social Services.
Evil dad.
Who's next?
Who's next?
Well, we could talk about the disappearance of bits, if you want to.
Go on.
Mount Gox. And,
Bitcoin.
You know, £300 million or value of bits going missing. Lots of people put store into Mt. Gox in Japan, I think they're based. Is that right? I think they're based in Japan.
Yes.
And basically they were storing up to, I think it was over 700,000 bitcoins for various companies and individuals around the world. And they have gone bankrupt. They have put in for bankruptcy, and nobody knows where their bits are anymore. They've all gone astray, and at today's rate, I think that's about £300 million worth of nothing, which has disappeared.
I was just going to ask if you understood that this podcast was English, because I'm usually pretty good with the tech stories. I'm there or thereabouts. I know what you're on about.
I have no clue about this one. You know about Bitcoin?
I do know about Bitcoin, yeah, but...
Well, Mt. Gox was obviously basically a bank. It's almost a bank that was holding on to people's Bitcoins or storing people's Bitcoins for them and doing transfers of Bitcoins for people. And they have gone bankrupt. So there's people saying, where's our money? Or where's our Bitcoin?
28 million are unaccounted for. And they've jumped straight to the this is theft line, it would seem.
Well,
they've stolen nothing, though, haven't they? That's the weird thing. They've stolen nothing. There's two guys sat outside their headquarters going, where's my money? But what's been stolen? That's... The Bitcoin thing kind of passes me by in a way because they've stolen nothing, haven't they?
Well, it's an interesting point because, I mean, you cannot steal information. And the definition of where information ends is an interesting one because, I mean, if you're talking about... if I steal a disc from your house that's got information on it, you can have me prosecuted for the theft of the physical disc. But if I was to look on that disc and take the information off it and put the disc back, The only thing you'd get before is breaking and entering or entry without a license. But if it was in a public place and I took the disc and took the information off it, there is nothing you can do. That is not theft in current British law.
Well, yeah, if you watch The Fifth Estate, you'll see that. That is very much the case because that's mentioned, Ewan.
Yeah,
no, I think there's going to be some investigation because they're not really sure whether it's been taken or whether they actually lost the bitcoins in transactions which were what? Not quite as secure as they thought they were.
This is my point, Gaz, and I think that's what Paul's saying, is what did they take?
Yeah. Well, bitcoin can be exchanged for traditional currency, and there is an exchange rate. So in that sense, if the bitcoin is gone, it can't be exchanged. And the money that it could have been exchanged for is not there. There's a second Bitcoin bank that filed bankruptcy in the last day or two.
Mm-hmm. I didn't hear that.
Yeah. Yes. So there's two of them now.
Yep.
Batwedge wants the young, cute guy to speak again. Looking around the panel.
It's Streak.
Yeah,
I think
up there.
I think Batwings perhaps wants to do some Swedish movies with you, mate.
I'll see if I can work it into my schedule. Yeah, we'll see and see what the missus has to say about that.
He's got a voice to rival Sean Connery, Tom Hiddleston, and Mark A. Shepherd. Who's Mark Shepherd?
I've heard of Mark Shepherd.
I know Colonel Shepherd, but I don't know what Mark Shepherd.
Does she mean the Mark Shepherd on Twitter?
No, I don't think so.
Wasn't Mark Shepherd? Isn't Mark Shepherd the guy that created Canonical, the company that developed Ubuntu?
You know,
maybe.
I know a few shepherds around this way.
Bastard.
I don't think that's who Batwench is referring to, by the way.
No.
No.
There you go, mate.
So if we keep getting these companies, bring this back on song.
I know, I'm pissed off because this is the first time he's been on the Sunny Show and he's pulled already.
I know.
So just so you know, Mark Shepherd.
For months.
I mean, it's 5 years. I've got no phone numbers to show for it.
But you're going to have to.
I was young when I started this podcast.
Oh, dear. What have I done?
So okay, last time you're
on. Mark Shepherd is an actor. He was in Firefly, and he was in Battlestar Galactica.
Oh,
okay.
The old one or the new one?
The new one.
Ah, right.
So he played the attorney in Battlestar Galactica, and he played a smuggler that wore a bowler cap in Firefly.
The Irish attorney in Battlestar Galactica.
Yes.
Right. I think I might know who that is now.
Is Battlestar Galactica, was the ship in Battlestar Galactica run by Ryanair then or something? No?
Oh, I
see. Yes, yeah. Did
they have,
it was.
They had to pay to use the toilets.
Well, they did by the end.
Yeah, if Streak puts his sunglasses on, he'd probably pull it off now. Now I've seen the pictures, yeah.
Oh, Sarah has got one.
Well, a Bitcoin.
No, an embed image. That only took 40 minutes.
She has been quiet, hasn't she?
No, you didn't. It's 404, woman.
It's 404 already.
How do I display this? Because I put it in a browser and it's just said, it's done a Google search on it, which isn't going to work.
You need to store it in an HTML file.
Oh, well,
yeah.
You're well past my competence now, then. Jesus.
Open Notepad, stick copy and paste it to that, save it as a .html file, and then open it in the browser.
Easy, you see. You're an easy.
Yep.
Don't know why you haven't done it already.
Make a cup of tea, turn around 5 times, and yeah, you'll have it.
That's it, yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, can I finish this story?
Yeah, please do, for God's sake.
Jeff, with another bank going bankrupt, Bitcoin holder, treasury, whatever they are, going bankrupt, is there a future for Bitcoin? Because at this rate, who's going to trust it? I mean, we don't even know what it is, so we're not going to trust it.
For people that are really into Bitcoin, they will continue to trust it because they are not keeping their coins stored in the exchange. They're keeping them stored in their own wallets. So when a particular exchange goes under, they don't actually lose anything, or they lose very little. So I think that the whole cryptocurrency thing will stick around, but it's not going to grow at the rate that people thought it would a few months ago. Because stuff like this will scare people away.
It'll take a hold when real banks start obviously dealing with it as well and exchanging, I think, lot more. Until that Japan, point, I think it's going to be rather a geek fest on Bitcoin, I think. Or underground. Criminals like using Bitcoin, don't they?
Go ahead, Jeff.
It has more of a chance of taking off, at least in Japan now, because Japan is going to start regulating Bitcoin like any other currency.
Oh, they're going?
So it's got legitimacy there.
Mm. Okay. Because the last I heard that they said that they didn't want to have anything to do with it because it was this pseudo-currency thing. So
this week.
Oh, okay.
You've got to have something to have. You've got to have a hat peg to put your hat on with the currency, and there is no hat peg. That's where it is all ultimately going to fall down. It's a notional process of gaining it. It's a notional process of trading it, and it's a notional process of keeping it, according to this story.
From what I can understand, though, it's perfectly possible to actually store bitcoins offline.
Mm-hmm.
Why you wouldn't do that anyway as a way of securing them.
TV's Egon in the chat room is correcting us and saying it's not a currency. Japan is regulating Bitcoin as a commodity.
Oh, as a commodity.
A currency. So that's a very important issue.
As we need to remember, the last person who stored it offline was the chap in Cardiff who lost it in a landfill.
Oh yes.
So
stick it in the cloud somewhere.
In the cloud, offline on the cloud is.
But you know what I mean? Don't stick it in a Bitcoin bank.
Yeah, the exchanges right now, they don't seem like the safest place to store your Bitcoins.
I've got no idea.
There are a lot more safeguards on my bank account of where I store my money than there are with Bitcoin. It's been proven over the last couple of weeks.
Well, mate.
And I would rather store my money in the conventional way.
You sleep on that bed every night. Of course it's
exactly,
secure.
I do.
With a shotgun.
10 foot tall.
Tony Martin.
No foot joke.
See, I'm good. I'm back. I have no idea who was sat next to me. Jeff, your voice is being a lull bitty at times. It's so depressing as your voice is on my moist list. What the hell's a moist list?
This is a different kind of show, though.
Is that a bit of late night listening up in Cumbria?
Oh, damn straight. It's the only thing to do up there.
When the husband's away on business.
Oh, dude!
Oh, God, the moist list.
The moist list. I think we got a title.
The moist list. The moist
list. just doing my part for international relations. You're welcome.
Oh, mate, you'd be building a bridge there. Christ.
Ewan, I've just published a page with the Getty image.
Now, that's why you should use Sarah Jane as your web hosting and controlling woman. Because straight away...
Link's in the chat room.
She saved my blushes.
Yes.
To give us an example.
Is it a hamster?
It is indeed.
It's a rodent.
Look at his face.
It's a hamster.
A gerbil, isn't it? Is that a gerbil?
It's a hamster.
Hamster. There it is. A hamster. Now that's interesting because...
Can I carry that question forward through the Christmas quiz?
What?
I got it right.
Yes.
Well, no, the thing that bothers me the most is that this is completely unrehearsed, but we've talked about back when she's at Moistlist, and now we've got bloody hamsters on the screen.
Oh, Jesus.
The connotations are mind-blowing. No, anyway, Sarah, the thing that you've put up, you perhaps should have changed the background colour here, but when you buy this image there, or when you get this image free... Shut up.
Oh, no.
Rodents and the Moistlist, Richard Gere. That's actionable. That is actionable, woman. You could be sued come Monday morning.
I won't have anyone insult hamsters.
No, I don't think she was. I think she was insulting Richard Gere.
That's fine.
And he clips the nails of them, clearly. Get back to the hamster. Stay on topic. Sarah, could you change the background on that webpage to something that's not white?
Okay, what would you like it to be?
No, because I'm trying to make out what it is that Getty force you to show, because I'm thinking that they display a white banner at the bottom.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yeah, sure. Just give me a
couple. We'll come back to that in a second.
Yeah.
If you want any web design services, any web WordPressy type stuff, go see Sarah. She's a business now. She needs your help.
If you need hamster photos, go see Sarah.
No, that's not what I was saying. Jesus Christ, Jeff. If you want a reputable web ace, here's your woman.
And hamsters.
There you go.
Yeah, and hamsters.
She can give out some contact details at the end. Streak savers, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. Apparently.
Yeah.
Dell is charging for the lovely service of installing a Firefox web browser on your new Dell workstation.
They're charging?
In Europe. Yeah, what? They're charging money for it. And this
so
has,
I'm
of
assuming
course,
they're charging just for the service, since anyone can get Firefox for free.
It literally says Mozilla web browser installation service, and then they have a little fee there attached to it. And it's only in the EU, apparently.
Now, they're saying here that Mozilla are angered by the charge. So it's not consumers that are getting pissed off. It's the fact that Mozilla are saying, no, this is something we give free to the world, and you bastards can't charge for installing it. If anyone's going to charge, it should be us.
Yep.
Yeah, part of the agreement and T's and C's actually says they can't be charged for as well.
Mm-hmm. No.
But they're charging for the service of installing it, aren't they?
Yeah, of course they are.
They're charging £16.25, to be precise.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my word.
To have Holy Firefox crap. Installed. Mm. That's a lot of money. That's $30. No, yeah, $25,
$30. Yeah, Firefox is rubbish as well, so it's even more insane.
Well, we won't go down that road, thanks, Paul. Batwinch has already got a lawsuit coming in from Richard Gere, so let's not add to it. Our trademark policy makes clear that this is not permitted, and we are investigating the specific report, says Danelle Dixon Thayer, Vice President of Mozilla's General Counsel. That makes it sound like the UN.
So,
should be.
The Mozilla product must be without cost, and its distribution, whether by download or other media, is not subject to a fee or tied to a subscription or purchasing a service, the collection of a person's information.
So why do they feel they can charge for this?
Because they've got their
on many Linux distributions that Firefox comes as the default browser, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So it? Why... Why does Dell feel they can actually charge for this?
Because, is this the browser ballot? Sorry, sir, go ahead.
I was going to say, because of the fact that it's actually taking them time, their margins are so tight that anything that takes time to install any kind of piece of software, that obviously, what I don't understand is why the hell they don't just build it into the distro, and then there's no cost at all of doing it, which is what they would do with any other product.
But are they not still doing the browser ballot when you get a new PC now?
Yes.
So surely that... negates the point of actually doing this in the first place, because when you get your new PC, it says there are a hell of a lot of browsers out there. You choose the one you want to run.
Robert, when's this cost incurred? Is this you go to the Dell website, you order a computer, and it gives you an option to have Firefox installed, and they charge you £16 for the privilege, or is it?
Exactly. It's like in this last section called accessories, and then you can select there if you want it. And you just before you plunk your money down, that's where it pops up.
Wow.
Got you.
That's crazy.
I tried it before the show, and I found it on the Swedish Dell site. These guys tried it on both the Spanish and the UK one. So it's all over Europe, it seems.
Not only is this your first appearance, but you're the first person to ever do due diligence on a story on this network.
I was not aware that was not a prerequisite.
No, we make this shit up as we go along.
Oh, okay, cool. I'll remember that the next time.
You're good, mate. You're real good. You're coming on next week. Sarah's done the website, and that's a frigging big white banner they make you have at the bottom. I was going to credit them with about half that. On the bottom of the image, you've got the image that you've freely got at the top, and then there is a banner at the bottom, a white strip across the bottom with their contact details for Twitter, something and something else. And
Rowan Castle is the guy that owns that image.
It's an open image from Rowan Castle. So that's what I don't get about this, because Getty Images don't own that image anyway. Rowan Castle does. And he's put it on Flickr as an open license. So you could get this image off Rowan Castle's profile on Flickr, free of charge, anyway. That would come up in Creative Commons and
okay,
a Google search.
Okay, now that's
search.
Really weird.
Yeah, but is that a 35 mil shot?
What's that? I don't understand the significance of that, though, Gus.
Well, that's what they're pushing, isn't it? The fact that they've got old 35mm images.
Well, that doesn't look like 35mm to me. The
correct.
Colours, the colours look digital on that.
So that's, you know, this is probably not a representation of what we possibly originally was looking for.
No, it's an embed image. Sarah has found a true embed image.
I know, but the story was that they are releasing a load of 35 millimeter images.
The story I read didn't specify 35 millimeter. It just specified
images. I must have been on a different page.
35 million images.
Million images, not 35 millimeter.
I read it wrong then.
there's nothing better than two dyslexics discussing a story, is there? Jesus.
That image, by the way, is just the default that the embed creates when you copy the code. You can change that to whatever you want, as long as it obviously keeps the aspect ratio correct.
Yeah, if that's the default, that's a big white strip on the bottom. That is a big old white strip compared to the size of the image that you actually get from it.
Do you know what? To be honest, though, and as someone who's just about to start using images a lot, that's not going to bother me if I want to use that in a blog post.
Yeah, well, it would bother me on the basis that I could go to Rowan Castle's Flickr profile and get it anyway.
Well, in that particular case, yes, but it was to demonstrate a point.
Wasn't well, it does tell you there, doesn't it?
No, I set Sarah the challenge of getting Wynne by the end of the show, and she has, which I couldn't do in the first hour this morning. So,
yeah, absolutely. But the point that you said, that they're telling you that it's Rowan Castle and it's Flickr open, so you could...
Good luck to them. Wynne Ryder says in the chat room, two dyslexics walk into a bra.
Yeah, which I've done on many occasions.
Excellent. Righty, what's your story, boy?
Well, it's a story and a rant at the same time. So I do apologise in advance.
Go on, eh?
It's a Windows story. It's XP. I know we've visited many times before, but obviously we are close coming up to the end of XP, April the 8th this year. At work, we're furiously kind of getting rid of all our XP systems. But it's Microsoft's reaction to consumers that kind of really kind of boils my blood, because it's been announced this week that from the 8th of this month and the 8th of every month after that, they're going to start showing a pop-up on XP systems saying, did you know that XP is going to be end of life? Now, people who use XP aren't really going to understand what that means. So I've looked at what this pop-up does, and it comes up and it says XP is end of life. It takes your website and it says, you need to do this, this, and this. You need to upgrade to Windows 7, Windows 8, or your PC might be too old, and oh, buy a new PC. Fantastic. Great for Microsoft, great for all his vendors. But it takes you to a really confusing, really long-winded site. So people who are still on XP who aren't going to be IT experts, maybe not no IT experts, are going to be really confused. It takes you to guys to upgrade into Windows 8, or you need to migrate. They've even worked with Logitech on a migration tool, getting your data from Windows XP to Windows 8. And it seems a bit long-winded, but then it gets even more confusing because they've now actually released a website. It's amirunningxp.com. And if you go there, the website actually says, yes, you are running Windows XP, or no, you're not running Windows
XP. If you've got to go to a website to find out if you're running XP or not.
Yeah, if you go to amirunningxp.com, it actually says, yes, you are running Windows XP, or no, you're not. And if you are running Windows XP, it gives you a countdown. And if people actually have to go to a website to find out which version of the operating system they're running, how on earth are you going to get them to upgrade? It's absolutely ridiculous. What they should really do is have people go to a website, and going back to what Mac are doing with free upgrades for their OS X now, Windows should just make Windows free.
No, that's not going to happen, dude, because they don't get no hardware sales, so that's not going to happen.
Well, no. Well, it leads me on to the next part of the story, because there's rumours this week that Microsoft are working on a free or a low-cost version of Windows 8.1. It's bundled with all Microsoft services like Bing Search and all that sort of thing. But it's not actually aimed at the XP users. It's aimed at Windows 7. So there's all sorts of confusion about what's going on. But the fact that they're actually going to users, we're going to confuse you with a pop-up saying XP is end of life, but not really explaining the dangers of running XP. Because if you're running XP at the end of April the 8th this year, you are a huge target for viruses and these scammers. I was in the PC Pro podcast today. These scammers who phone you up and they go, oh, you've got a virus in your PC. And then you go, yeah, and you give them all your details and they scam you. So there's all these sort of things. But if people don't even know they're running XP, and Microsoft identified that people don't realize they're running XP, it's a huge, huge miscommunication. And they're really not going to any length to actually inform users what they actually need to do. And people who are running XP are probably running PCs that are, I don't know, 10 years old. You never know. What are people actually meant to do? Because people used to say to me, I do IT support. And people go, what do people do if they don't know someone like you? I said, well, I have no idea, because I advise people and I upgrade them and things like that. But what does the normal layman human being do? They're on XP past April the 8th and they don't know how to upgrade or migrate or anything like that. They're in real danger and Microsoft's doing nothing to actually help them.
Well, yeah, I agree. And to be honest, I mean, I don't know, because as you say, we are obviously very aware of it. We've been aware of it for a long time. Mm. However, you know, most people that do use PCs, and I really don't want to do people injustice, but if they haven't read the technology pages, or they haven't seen something in the technology press, there's been nothing in the mainstream press about this to alert people to the risks to it. So it's going to come as a real surprise to them when they get this pop-up message and they're going to say, what? What's all this about?
Here's my thought. Hasn't Windows got a pop-up blocker?
Well, it's a pop-up in the operating system, but the thing that makes me laugh about it is it actually says XP has come to end of life, and right underneath it actually says, click here to discard this message. So you can actually say, I've had this twice, I'm going to get rid of it. And
brilliant.
It goes away, and they're vulnerable, because once XP, there's some ridiculous amount of how many XP machines are still out there in the commercial and consumer market. It's going to come a hive for viruses and malware. We've seen how vulnerable OS X and iOS has been in the last week, how they've been promoting people to try to upgrade. And these are the latest operating systems, but 12 years on, XP, Microsoft are really not going out of their way. If you see the pop-up and you see the link it takes you to, if you are a person who's had a computer for, I don't know, 10 years, and it's been working perfectly happily, you are going to be absolutely confused by the information they give you. Why don't Microsoft just turn around and say, Windows 8, Windows 7, or whatever, it's a free upgrade. Just get onto the latest system, make yourself safe, because
that's not the Microsoft
they're
way.
They are putting people at risk through their ignorance and the ignorance and the lack of education of the users who are sat on these old systems.
Or even, I know it slightly goes against the grain considering they're trying to sell Windows 8. Why not offer a free upgrade to Windows Home Basic? Windows 7 Home Basic.
Yeah, but they're not doing that. Like I say, the rumours this week are that they're experimenting with a free version of Windows 8.1, but that's only for Windows 7 users upgrading to 8. They're leaving the XP users high and dry.
Well, I've got a hard time in fundamentally understanding that Microsoft can walk away from Windows as an income source and rely entirely on Xbox et al. for full income. They're not going to do that. And I don't think it's fair to ask them to do that just because Apple have done it. But Apple have got the rich uncle of hardware to stop them.
And it's important to look at the distinction between the way Apple and Microsoft operate. Meaning, Apple while they have a lot of software and services, those are designed to sell hardware. Microsoft sells software. So if they start giving away their product, then they're not making money. And while they could offer free upgrades to an older version of Windows, I just don't see Microsoft doing that. It'd be like, well, it'd be like Microsoft giving away their product that they charge for free.
But then aren't Microsoft now saying they're a devices and services company opposed to an operating system?
Well, they may be saying that, but they're not that yet. They're still a software company.
Hmm. I agree, but the part of the reason why I suggested Windows 7 Home Basic is because most people don't use Windows 7 Home Basic, but at least it gets them off the XP platform without actually having any risk to themselves. As Paul said, that's the inherent risk that they run.
If there really is a truly free Windows operating system, I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up being something that runs Windows software only.
Yeah, but they're obviously identifying the education they use is the fact that there's a website that you go to and it says, am I running XP? And it's like, oh my word, are you only working at this point that your users don't actually understand the operating system they're running? So this pop-up, which they think is going to solve all their problems, it's not going to do anything at all.
They're going to
tick the box and say, don't show this again, and then they're going to be vulnerable. And you talk about a global scale of vulnerability. It's absolutely shocking the amount of people who are going to be vulnerable at the point that April the 8th comes around. And yes, and we've said it before, Microsoft can't support a 12-year-old operating system again and again and again. But the education that they're putting out to people who, if they're still on XP, they don't really understand because they've had the choice to upgrade to Vista, Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows 8.1. They haven't done it yet. They're not going to do it just because you tell them to.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Let's not go with the V word, shall we?
Well, we won't do the...
Slightly tongue-in-cheek comment here because I know it wouldn't happen. But the thing to do is not to... Given that most ATM machines are supposed to be still running Windows XP, thing to be is not to go anywhere near an ATM machine on April the 9th, because they'll all have this pop-up thing. You won't be able to get rid of it because there's obviously no mouse attached.
Don't worry about that. They're still running OS 2 Warp 3.
I thought it was Windows 3.11.
Could be.
But we say it here as people who know technology and know what's going on, the changes that are happening. But the majority of people who have computer systems don't really understand the change. You know, I'd be running TV advertisement and all of that sort of thing and just letting people know what the risk is. But it's a huge risk after April the 8th at the point they stop the security updates. You know, people really need to know what sort of danger they're in. Actually, if they don't upgrade.
Actually, Paul, there is a very interesting analogy to this. Given that the Microsoft were punished by the US Justice Department and the EU for linking Internet Explorer to Windows as a way of actually leveraging, i.e. as the browser of choice, you could argue that that judgment also shows that they have a responsibility because... the authorities obviously see that they do have a large enough market share that they have a responsibility for this sort of thing.
Yeah, but if you actually read the stories, and look at the link that the pop-up that sends you to from XP, if you are, I'd just take a layman example, you're someone, you're a pensioner who's had their PC for the last 12 years, you've been running XP because that's what you've got. If you actually look at the pop-up and the link it tells you to, and you haven't got any sort of technical knowledge, it's absolutely shocking what Microsoft's telling you to do because they're going, well, run this tool to see if you can run Windows 8, and then we want £200 to run Windows 8. If not, go and buy a new PC. And it would be absolutely shocking to make people without that sort of technical knowledge make that kind of conscious decision to actually do anything about it. And I think...
This is the way it's been for Microsoft for years, sadly. Yeah.
But this has been out there for, I don't know, three, four years, been talking about XP dying, and we're still in days of it kind of dying, and they've really not put anything out there to actually protect the people who are using the old operating system. And
I think
they're the people who bought systems who who paid the licensing fee fair enough a long time ago, but they're still not honouring them with enough education to actually do anything about it.
Oh, I don't hold that it's Microsoft's job to educate users. I'm sorry, I don't. It's their job to maintain a safe integrity for an operating system for a legacy period, which is acceptable. And I think with XP, they've done that. And if there's any dumb shit out there who hasn't realised that they should get off XP, this pop-up is actually doing more than I would expect them to do. I've got no issue with this whatsoever.
Oh, no, I haven't got an issue with the pop-up. I've just got an issue with the way that they're communicating the message to me.
It's not their message to communicate. We are ending support. Thank you very much. Everybody who's using an XP will now get a pop-up that says, we're ending support. You carry on at your own peril. And at that point, stuff them.
Yeah, but I don't think people understand that message.
I don't care. It's not Microsoft's job.
I deal with a lot of people who have IT issues. I don't think they understand what that end of support actually means.
That's why they pay you, Paul.
I always make the analogy with washing machines, this sort of thing. It, you know, Joe Public, a computer is like a washing machine and dishwasher. It's an appliance that they use to do a job. If you get a message coming up on your washing machine saying you've got a certain error code, you contact someone who's an expert to find out what it means, don't you? And you, as Ewan says, if Microsoft display that message, then users have a responsibility to do something about it themselves.
Yeah.
If you want to get into the computer support and service business, I would recommend doing it very soon because it's going to be a very lucrative market in short time.
Yeah, quit where you're at, Paul, and go and open a corner shop.
Yes,
it's going to be XP users all over again.
Disenfranchise XP users.
No, Sarah's right. It's the Millennium Bug all over again.
It runs off the tongue, doesn't it? I wonder if there's any planes running XP. Certainly trains, I know that. So
that's a scary thought.
I have seen medical equipment running XP and other variants of Windows, and that's kind of freaky.
Well, how many ATM systems run on XP?
Shitloads.
I've seen airport information systems running on XP.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Will they be upgraded before April the 8th?
I don't know.
No.
I guess we'll find out eventually, sadly.
It's not going to be a problem if you can't get your money out. It's going to be a problem if they use that to hack into the bank's network.
Right, I'm getting bitcoins now then. All my money's going to bitcoin.
He's having a strop, isn't he? Paul's look at him. He's like, oh, right, they don't agree with me.
Can I just say something on that very last point, Ewan, before we move on? As far as the ATM goes, I don't know, I was larking around earlier on and making comments about pop-ups. ATM machines use a version of Windows XP called Embedded, which is being supported till 2016. So it's not going to affect ATMs, really. Phew. I was just mucking around.
Oh, that's a shame.
And regarding OS2 warp being used on ATM still, I believe they quit that a couple of years back, so don't be worried about that either.
Angela's just bought me a gin and tonic, and I think they're the wrong way round.
Tonic and gin?
I think it's a tonic and gin. Christ!
Is it a little strong?
It's gin.
I've got Batwitch has brought me a bottle of Hendrix, which I love Hendrix gin. But I don't think there's any left now.
In one glass?
Yeah, Christ.
Wow.
I was drinking a pint and gin and tonic, I have to say, but that was only because I had like three in it. I didn't want to go outside. I wasn't being lush. No, well, there I was. I want to do a shout-out because we've got a lot of people that are in the tech field who are listeners to the podcast, and they've been a long time around the network, and they listen to us and they chat to me and they do nothing and they expect nothing in return. I want to give a shout-out to Darren Griffin, who does the Pocket GPS application, which had all the trouble the other week with the iTunes Store. I think that's resolved now. But if you haven't got a GPS application for your iPhone, this is a lot more than just what comes in the standard stuff. But go and check out Pocket GPS. It's Darren Griffin. He's a lovely, lovely guy who has helped the network an awful lot and been around an awful long time. And he's expecting nothing from being a member of the community. But if you want something like that, go check out his stuff, because he's a really good guy. I want to take also to Chris at CHN Technology. And he's the guy that sent me a review unit, the Tough Tech Duo. I love this so much, I bought another.
I want that.
You have to buy one, mate. You can currently get this from Chris's site, and BTN listeners get a 10% discount. So if you type in BTN10 on checkout, you will get a 10% discount. And I have to say, this is my pick every week. This one has got two 500 gig drives and is a RAID 1.
Oh, nice.
And the other one that's over there is got two 1 terabyte SSDs in it and is RAID 0. And it's for both FireWire. And come April 1st or mid-April, they're coming out with a Thunderbolt version of this. I've got two of them. At that point, I will be getting a third. They are absolutely brilliant. And they're small and easy. They come with a nice little... where's my wallet? Here we go.
So what's that, USB 3?
No, this is FireWire 800, but they do a USB 3 one, and they're going to do a a Thunderbolt one eventually as well. But it comes in a nice little pouch, and they're small and light and dead easy to carry around. So please support Chris. He's been a long time listener to the network. CHN Technology, chno.co.uk, I think it is.
That's really slick.
I shall be in for a couple of those when the Thunderbolt comes out.
Tough Tech Duo.
Yeah, I like the USB 3 version.
I'll tell you what, I dread to think. I've got one, this one here, it's FireWire 800 with two SSDs in it, and it flies. I dread to think how fast it's going to be when I get it in the Thunderbolt one. It's going to be amazing.
He's a brilliant nice chap as well.
He is. He's an absolutely lovely bloke. And he's a member of Elmug as well. He's joined Elmug by coming down as well. He hasn't come on to push his product. He's been around the network for a long time now. So please support him if you want this thing. And the other one I'll talk about is James Turner, who is JCT Woodpad. Again, he's not pushing the network. He's not trying to say to me, can you plump me products, mate? He sent me through some review units. That's the cherry wood pad there. I've also got this one, which is the oak wood pad, which is two slots in the right direction. I need to do some reviews on these yet. I've still got to write them. And this one, which is my favourite, and it's perfect because it fits me Nokia 1020, and it's got the charging point slot underneath there. And these things, they're not that expensive. The cherry one here, that's the two-way one, different angles on the wood, that was £20 delivered. And it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of cherry that's really nicely finished. Nice little rubber studs on the bottom. So you can get him at JCT Woodpad. He's the guy, James Turner, at JCT Woodpad on Twitter. Please support these guys because they don't expect anything from the network. They're just good members of the community. And if you've been around the community for a while and you want to just, you know, this is your job, then come and tell us what you do and we'll gladly showcase it. If you're a Johnny Come Lately and you just want to do it and piss off, then you're only going to get half of that, I'm afraid. But please support them. Another people who have been around a long time for us, or will be around a long time for us, is Network Union. Now, Network Union are an authorised BT reseller, authorised BT partner. Their job is basically in the business field. Their experience is in huge WANs and LANs and that kind of stuff for companies. But they're also entering now into the small market, the SME market, for business users. If you're a business BT user, you can get in contact with these guys through networkunion.co/British Tech, and there's a link on the sponsors page. Go and check them out and see what they can do for you. If you put your email in there for them to contact you, they don't keep that email, so you're not going to get spam and they're not going to sell it on to anyone else. Absolutely not. There is a no-risk issue there with that. So sign up with them and ask them what they can do for you. Have a chat with the guys over there and see what they can come up with. But you'll still be maintaining your relationship with BT. You'll be billed by BT. You'll work with BT. But what you'll be doing at no extra cost is getting the added expertise of Network Union over the top. So whatever your system is, they will come and support you. They will help you as best they can. They might be able to help you with the pricing, any other kind of those kind of details. So enterprise lands and small to medium enterprises, get in touch with Network Union. They're sponsoring us for 12 months, and their end of the deal is they're providing the bandwidth in for the shows. So all of the video podcasts that go out live, TNU are picking up the bill for that. So please check them out. Use the link off our sponsors page. And of course, last but by no means least, we've got to thank UK2.net because they're brilliant as well. They pick up all our bandwidth and costs as far as transmitting these shows and holding the server. The server is now laden with loads and loads of stuff. We don't delete any episodes. So from when we came on as British Tech Network on the 1st of April and transferred the server over, every show we've ever done is on there. You can go and listen back as far as you like. And we get a few hits from some of the old classics. Debbie McGee's Five of Spades. Pussy and Steak.
I think that was nearly
wow.
Ago we changed the name, wasn't it? And it's coming up.
April 1st. It was April 1st. Yeah, it was April Fool's Day. 2 years ago. We've reached our network. And come April 1st, you might find another surprise on the network. Yeah. Just keep watching the site. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So Trouble UK 2, because they pick up they're 400 quid a month's worth of servers. The audience is getting a bit rowdy. They get alcohol in them. So support them. UK 2, off our webpage. Use the offer codes. Get yourself a huge discount. Brilliant. Now then, have we got a cool thing? Streak, you get the honour of starting us off, mate. First show, due diligence, and now you're first with the cool thing. Did you bring one?
My cool thing, to be honest.
We'll come back. You failed, right? We'll come back. Sexy voice or not, you failed, boy. We'll come back to you. You're not on Bat When She's Moistless, by the way. Only Jeff is.
That's true.
Is Streak getting on the moist list or not?
Is that the Swedish guy?
Yeah.
Oh, god damn, yes.
Apparently you're top of the list. So, never mind. Jeff, you're at the bottom with me.
That's all
right. Am I on the list? Am I on the list? Am I on the list? Oh, Jesus Christ, I'm not on the list.
Nor am I, so.
We need to publish this list on the blog in order.
Yeah, that'll do it, yeah.
Okay, she's right, she can do that. We'll be up tomorrow. Jeff, before she disheartens you, maybe, what's your cool thing?
The moist list. No, actually, my cool thing this week is totally self-serving. It's the video of me from Ignite Denver, since not everyone could be here to watch it. So I'm dropping it in the chat room.
Are you serious?
Sure. But I also have other stuff.
Is that the Perfume Is My Kryptonite one?
No, this is the everything, or this is the Starbucks people one.
Ah, right.
Yeah. So I do have that, and then I also have a really cool piece of tech hardware here. So anyhow, go watch the video and let me know.
I found it. I'm going to do it.
All right. So the other thing I have, it's a GPS watch that comes from TomTom. So it's designed for fitness tracking, and it's different from other GPS watches that I've seen, because instead of taking several minutes to acquire your location, it does it in less than a minute. And that's really important if you're out, like, say, running, and you start the GPS and you start running, because it can take many, many minutes for a typical GPS watch to acquire your location. You could run more than a mile before it's actually figuring out where you are. And with this, it's a matter of seconds. And
that's kind of an important point, I would have thought.
Yeah, it's a really important point.
If I've run a mile, I want frigging credit.
Yeah, of course you do. It totally makes sense. Of course you want credit. So it's designed so you can pop this thing out and put different watch bands on it. And the GPS is in the button piece on the bottom here. But that also works as the control. So it's like a D-pad for controlling this thing, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. And then it syncs up with your computer via USB. And it's pretty accurate as far as I can tell. I've taken it out on a couple hikes and on a backcountry ski event and snowshoeing, and it seems to be doing pretty well across the board. So it's really nice. And this one's from TomTom.
Excellent. Price? Do we know?
Oh, I have no idea.
It's a review unit.
Yeah, well, they sent it to me because it's one of the things that I wanted to look at before I do my presentations at Macworld, because I'm talking about fitness tech.
Of course, wearable tech.
Yeah, wearable tech and how I lost weight.
150 quid upwards, I think, now.
Okay, so 150 pounds, it'd be about $200.
Howitch is taking surreptitious pictures of me in the studio doing the show and putting them out on Twitter.
Mm.
People can see what a shithole my office is.
At least you're not naked.
At least. I'm wearing trousers.
See, so there is that.
I'm wearing pants. Sorry, Jeff. Good pick, mate. Right. Like that a lot. Sarah, what have you got for us, Will?
Cool thing. Mine is nothing particularly exciting, but it actually solved a problem for me recently. And it's a... I just put a link in the chat room. It's a wireless keyboard and mouse. I've been looking for a very small one of these for Ireland for our media PC over there. And I found this a couple of weeks ago, and you're wondering why it's here when I'm in Ireland, but that's because I've bought a second one because I liked it so much.
I liked it so much, I bought another.
Yeah, I've actually bought a second one for my Raspberry Pi, which it does. It works really as well on that. So it just, it's good space saving. It doesn't include a numeric keypad. It's good and it does the job. And the little USB adapter thingy stores in the back of the mouse for when it's not being used, which is great as well. So the link I put in the chat room is for Amazon. It's £25 on there. I don't know why. I bought these for 50. I bought both the ones I've got for £15. So,
oh right.
Don't know why they've gone.
So there's deals if you hunt.
But they're still. It's still very good, and I'd buy it at £25 because it's actually solved a problem that I've had for a while over there. So, yeah, very good. But I say nothing particularly exciting. Not revolutionary, but it does the job, and that's what counts.
If you've got a wireless keyboard that's got a range of 6 to 10 meters, you could have pretty good eyesight, I would have thought.
Yeah. Or a really big screen.
Yeah, I'm not using it anywhere near that kind
Don't
of
Don't kill me jokes, Jeff.
Sorry, man.
That's okay. I'll get you back.
I have no doubt.
$24.99 on Amazon, but Sarah says hunt. And you can find
I originally bought it at Maplin, and they were £15 now.
You want to keep that quiet, girl. If you're in tech, you don't want to mention the M word.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's why I bought it from Maplin, because it was cheap, but their prices have gone up to the same as Amazon. So obviously that I got them just at the right time. But
Admit you've been in Maplin. Admit you've been in Maplin.
There's a few cables here that enable me to do the show that came from Maplin. I shouldn't admit that.
Never admit you've been in Maplin. Your cred goes right down. Jeff, would you admit to going into Radio Shack?
No.
Exactly.
They've got longer stores now than they used to have.
And it's the same thing. Tandy. Never admit going into Tandy.
Very good.
Tandy used to sell a noise meter that was accurate to plus or minus 3 decibels. So there's a 6 decibel variance in the sound volume that you were measuring.
That's awesome.
Just a touch. Yeah. Righty, what you got for us, boy?
Got an iOS app for you. I used to think that mail on a phone was a godsend, and now it's a pain in my ass because
your personal ass.
Well, yes, quite literally.
You want to buy a smaller phone, mate?
Ain't in my ass.
Use some lubrication.
Well, yeah. But the one thing, it was great in the old days. Yeah, I got email on the phone. Fantastic.
It was the emphasis on
mine. I've got work email and I've got my Gmail on my phone. And it's always buzzing. It's like, is it bloody work? Is it Gmail? I'm fed up with taking my phone out and it's some dodgy off from Gmail. So I'm using an app called Square One for iOS, and it's an email dashboard. I was using Mailbox for a while, which is that email app you have to queue up for to get. But what Square One does, it's an email dashboard. I don't know if you can see it on there. But what you can do is categorize your mail. So as it comes in, I get a load of stuff. So it basically shows you all your unsorted mail. So I can go, oh, I've got an email from the local pub. And what you can do, if you swipe right, you can actually categorise it into different kind of things. So I've selected a new thing called offers. So I can put it into offers. And you think, oh, okay, yeah, fair enough, you can categorise your mail. But what you can then do is, when you go back to your settings in your dashboard, is you can turn that, you can mute it. So anything that I put into offers, I mute it, And any email that I actually categorise as offers or things that I don't want to hear about, it mutes those emails so I don't get bothered throughout the day with those emails. So you can actually only get the things that you actually think are relevant. And it's a free app. So actually, it's actually brilliant if you don't want to be bothered all day by annoying kind of spam, but things you might want to read later. So you can, and it actually learns as you categorise things, it learns. It's only on iPhone at the moment. There's an iPad app coming out soon. But
now, have you been caught out yet, though, Paul? Has it done something to an important email that was a holy shit moment?
No, because the trouble with Gmail is I use it to sign up for all sorts of trials and all that sort of stuff. But I still want to get those emails, but I don't want it buzzing in my pocket every single day. So what it's doing is, as I'm adding, so I say I've set this little thing up called offers. So I'm putting like the pub offers and all that sort of thing into that category. And I just say, turn it off for the day. And it's not buzzing all the time. So what I can do then is come back. But you've got things like, you can see on there, I've got digest, VIP, all that sort of thing. So it's kind of like the priority inboxes in Gmail, but no kind of iOS app has really has that sort of functionality.
Mm.
So it kind of gives you that kind of inbox priority that you have in the web app of Gmail on your iOS device.
Brilliant.
And it's free.
Name of the app?
Square One.
Square One, thanks, mate.
What I've always thought would be a really good idea with notifications on Android and iOS is to have a application that enable you to switch off certain notifications for certain mailboxes between certain times. So if you've got like work emails, you could say, well, only show me the notifications for those between 9 and 5, Monday to Friday.
Yeah. You're working for yourself now, girl. That's not applicable.
No, I know.
I get a little twing on me. I get a twing on my phone when I'm asleep, half asleep at 2 a.m. and I'm down here checking it.
I know you and I'm the same, but all I'm saying is that, you know, a lot of the time, you know, and I'm sure it works the other way as well, you might not want to be disturbed by personal emails when you're busy working, so.
Quite. Good pick, mate. Good pick. We like that. Very good. Gaz, what you got for us, mate?
Well, I was a bit late in the day, really, and I haven't had much new tech recently, but this is something which... And as we've got a bit of a photography theme going on, I know you've got the photo show, but this is something which I think everybody who takes any sort of picture should have. Now, what do you think? What do you think that is, Ewan?
That's a remote trigger.
Correct. Got it in one. Funnily enough, this is a remote trigger, which is actually manual. Okay. But it actually says the name of the company and it's got digital underneath it. God knows why. And if Batwench, if you've got a Sony, that's... This is what this is for because I'm a Sony user. And I think every camera photographer should really have one of these in the bag because you can set it up on your tripod, but when you set the photo up and you walk away or you press the timer, you always press the camera and you always make a slight adjustment or move it or do something. So, and these are really useful and I think every photographer should have one in his kit bag.
I agree, absolutely. I carry one around with me all the time.
Yeah, quick, easy, so there you go.
Yeah, they're dirt cheap as well. If you look around, you'll find cabled ones that are on Amazon or on eBay that are no-name brands that are compatible with, etc. And they're very easy. And the one that's nice is my Canon one's great because it's got a bulb switch. So if you set your camera onto bulb, you're looking for really long exposures. Then you can flick it up and there's a little switch that goes in behind it, which will mean that it stays on. And when you flick the switch off, then your bulb's over. So it's...
Absolutely. That's exactly what this does. Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, we like that. Very, very good. And if you've got one of those as well, take a piece of black card with you and go for a longer exposure. Put the black card in front of the lens, start the shutter and then take the black card away. Okay.
See, tips all round.
Deliberately overexposed just by one stop. Good shot. Well done, mate. Excellent pick. Streak, what have you got for us?
I finally found my pick, and it is an application available for both Mac OS X and for Windows. I believe it will run on XP if you want to stay around that for a while longer. Hint, don't. It's called Scrivener, and it has changed a lot about what I'm doing in text in the last 2 weeks or so. I'm working on a secret project.
Oh.
And... And this app has really managed to make me structure the writing and to organize it and make it into something presentable at a horrifically fast rate. And I really, really like it. And I can't even hesitate. This is the best $49 I could think about spending on any writing application right now.
There's a lot of people who write properly, and I don't mean that as a slight on anyone here, but people who are good writers recommend Scrivener, and that's always a good yardstick in my mind.
It is absolutely brilliant. It took me a while to wrap my little brain around it, but after I did, and I kind of saw what the advantage was, it's wow! I can do this with this application, and I can forget about Pages, Word, whatever.
Explain a little bit about what it does for you then.
It's kind of like a scrapbook built into a full writing environment. You can sit and write whatever you're doing, like if you want to do a play or if you want to write a novel. You can do all of those things. It has templates built into it, and you can stick your research in there so it's all gathered in one place, and everything's quickly, easily accessible, and you just add a new chapter, bam, you can do it, no problem.
And with €45, or $45 rather, with the dollar against the euro, you're laughing all the way to the bank.
It is so affordable for what you get, I think. It's just amazing.
You're not American.
Possibly, yeah. Absolutely killer application, and I really love it. Yeah.
€24, that's what you need. Good stuff,
brutally
mate.
Good.
Good pick. Excellent. My pick.
My cool thing.
Last Saturday, I went out and I bought my wife a MacBook Air. The MacBook that Gaz is on is the old MacBook, and that failed badly the other week. I finally got it repaired, and that's now in Bryony's room. She has it as her own little computer to play Minecraft and stuff. So I bought the wife a MacBook Air, and I had a go with it, and I set it up for her, and I left her to it. And she has not stopped using it. She absolutely adores it. She's probably sat on it now. And I was so impressed with it myself that I went and bought my own. I've also got a nice little driftwood cover for it, which is great. But I've got to recommend the MacBook Air. Absolutely got to recommend it. This one's tricked out. It's absolutely everything you can get for the MacBook Air, top end. And Sharon's is just the basic one. But I've done some Final Cut video on this, and I can't tell the difference between this and the speed on my MacBook Pro. It does it just as quick. Core i7, 2.7 gigahertz, and it's light and easy to move. I stayed away from the Air. I've never owned an Air before, and I bought this one because Sharon's was so good. And the one with the extra processor and the extra RAM in it is just immense. What a machine. What a machine. So I can't recommend it highly enough. The MacBook Air, 11-inch.
Awesome. You may find me. It's amazing that I'm saying that, Ewan. But I used to use one at work. They are pretty amazing bits of kits. You can chuck them around and do it because it's completely solid state.
You can install your own OS on it. It doesn't have to be a Mac machine. Yeah, it can be a Windows machine.
And but they're a great piece of kit.
The MacBook Pro was the fastest Windows machine on the market a few years ago.
Mine gets an absolute hammering, Ewan, and I've taken it. I've had it for a long time now, and it's not the old model. It's that same shape, but it's a slightly slower processor, but it's superb, and it's still going beautifully, and I love the 11-inch one.
I had people on Twitter saying to me, oh, you never do video, you never do photographs on that because the screen is just too small for design. Utter bollocks.
Yeah.
It is fine. Yeah. It is absolutely fine. Pull it a bit closer, for Christ's sake. The screen's fine. It doesn't need a Retina screen. It's fine at the 1388 by 6, whatever it was. I love it. And I've got this to carry around a Macworld.
I take it on holiday and do all the photo editing that I need to when I'm away. And then when I come back, I just merge the libraries.
I've got CS4, which I don't use as a copy. I've got 5 on my main 2 machines. I'm going to take 5 off and put it on this one and put 4 on the other machine, the secondary machine. And the driftwood covers from a thing called Smart Skins on eBay, which is really nice. I really liked it. It's really good.
That's
driftwood.
That's a really cool looking skin.
That is. Yeah. I've got a British Tech one coming though for Mac trip. It's going to go on here.
Speaking of the MacBook Air hardware, there, I'm not sure if he still does, but even Linus Torvalds, at least at one point, used a MacBook Air when he developed Linux. So
there you go.
They're just, I like them because they're just incredibly robust. You can chuck mm-hmm. them all over the place, and they just, they're solid. And I know that's, that, you know, that's a first, me recommending a Mac product, but the Airs particularly I do like.
Good hardware is good hardware. It doesn't matter yeah. which the name or brand is.
Yeah, I looked at the 13 or the 11. I just thought, well, I want to carry it in a little tiny sack, so I'll have it on the 11 instead, and I don't regret it. I've just had it here, sat next to here, and it's great because you can put the email on this, you know, just right next to me. I can still see the main computer here in front of me. I've got my laptop here doing my day-to-day editing and stuff, and it's brilliant. I absolutely adore it. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful little machine.
I've got 11. I'm using one right now. They're amazing, aren't they?
The 11,
it's big enough to use, isn't it?
The screens, a lot of people said, oh, no, I've never gone for the 11 because of the design issue. I can't use anything less than a 15-inch screen.
No, it's a
fallacy. No, it's a great Talking little machine.
Out your ass.
Yeah.
You just need to remember that it wasn't that long ago that we were all using 13-inch screens or less.
Good times.
Jesus Christ.
They used to be about 6 feet deep as well.
Yeah, well, that's it, isn't it? You know,
Sharon came to me tonight. She said, you know all the laptops you've got? There's one upstairs that doesn't look like a Mac. Yeah, go on. She said, what is it? It's like a grey block. Not slab, grey block. It's a breeze block. That would be a Texas Instruments one. Yeah, that's the first laptop I ever owned. A Texas Instruments. And it goes back to about 1986, I think. 85.
Wow.
Texas Instruments, and it's like this.
Yeah.
Huge.
You and I are great at Windows 8, really.
Yeah. I think it ran 2000. That was it. It topped out at 2000.
Oh.
Never got it any higher than that.
Good OS,
yeah, very good OS. NT and 2000 were brilliant.
Solid.
Where can we get a hold of you? Robert, fantastic performance again, mate. You didn't push hard enough, though. Kick these buggers out of the way and get in there.
I need to up the Earl Grey a bit more, I guess.
Good lad.
You can find me on streakmachine.com. That'll link you to all my other web presences. And keep your eyes out for that secret project. It'll be announced there.
Okay. Streakmachine.com. I shall subscribe now. And you get, you're at streakmachine on Twitter.
Yes. And pretty much anywhere you can find me, it'll be me at Street Machine.
And you used to blog loads for us, but you haven't blogged for a while, so.
Yes, I have been heavily dragged down by parental duties and such. Much diaper changing has happened.
Cool.
But I'll try to come back.
That's always rough when you have to start changing your parents' diapers.
it's not fun.
It's a different time of life speaking there. Well done. Jeff, where are you, sir?
Well, I'm at MacObserver.com, and on Twitter, I am Jay Gamut, and on a ton of podcasts, just Google me. You can find me on podcasts everywhere. And Fresh Brew Tales, my blog where I talk about all the ridiculous stuff that I see in coffee shops.
Thank you, sir. Sarah Jay?
Oh, am I in trouble?
No.
You said Sarah Jay.
Sarah Jay in UK?
Yes, I know. Yes, best place to get hold of me is on the Twitters at Sarah Jane UK.
Excellent. Thank you, Mrs. And your company venture, if people want any web support, WordPress
site,
support?
The site or? Is still, it's not really WordPress. It's I'm actually working on something that's completely separate from WordPress, all written in PHP, a long project that I've been working on for a long time and will be hopefully launched soon. So I can't say too much about it at the moment.
All right, fair enough. And Righty, where are you, boy?
On the old Twitter at Paulums, and doing my best at the old BritishTechNetwork.com.
Good man. You know, hey. I still love you, right?
Yeah, I love you, man.
All right, man. And Gaz, where will you be refereeing this weekend?
Reading.
Very good.
Reading versus Siren. No, who are they playing? Oh, I can't remember they're playing now. That's bad, isn't it? Anyway.
Who cares? It's red and blue or green and white or...
Yeah, yeah. Well, funnily enough, last week they both had the same colour shirt, so the away team had to go and get a change. Luckily enough, they were fairly close, else it would have been a nightmare. But there you go. Yes, you can find me at gazmaz.com, Gazmaz on Twitters, or go and look for My Mac Podcast, where myself and Guy Searle do the My Mac Podcast, and we call ourselves the G-Men, and it's just a bit of a giggle, really.
Excellent. My name's Ewan Rankin. You get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. Keep your eyes here, because Bash tickets will be up soon. 11th and 12th of July, if you want to come. Should be good. See you next week. Mac shows tomorrow, as normal. See you then. Thanks for listening.